God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted
logic. It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to one more installment of Dog Poet Transmitting from the Saucer Pod. Above one location or another, usually for the purpose of whatever the discourse is going to be, I have to put the saucer on autopilot because I don't usually know what the discourse is going to be. Once the saucer shows up somewhere, I get a reading, and then whatever happens, happens. Tonight we are hovering above Syria as the corrupt forces behind 99% of the world's problems and difficulties are preparing to launch yet another bloodbath under the guise of liberating the people they intend to murder, so that Israel, who is behind most of it, and who controls the nations that provide the militaries and hardwares to do their dirty work, can proceed to expand their territory from the Nile to the Euphrates. This way, every resident can have about 100 square miles for their own residential spaces, and those who used to live in those lands, and who they haven't tortured or killed yet, can act as bellhops, servants, pincushions, punching bags, and sexual playthings for the psychopaths who stole their land for this exact purpose. Don't worry, people. It's all legal. They said so. The point of assaulting Syria to suck Iran into the equation, well, that should be obvious to everyone, because it's through their mutual defense pact with Syria. That is, unless they manufacture one of their signature false flags, which they'll dummy up to look like Iran did it, even though Iran hasn't started a war in over 300 years, and Israel starts one just about every time one of their blood-spattered religious holidays comes up. Most religions have holidays that are based on some event where, you know, in the life of their founder, or based on certain spiritual verities. All of Israel's holidays are based on some event where they killed a lot of people under false pretenses or some other obnoxious event, but no sane person would look at it as something to celebrate. I don't doubt that given time, they'll eventually have a holiday that celebrates their attack on the USS Liberty and 9/11. The latter made it possible for them to arm twist all the countries whose banking systems they control for just that purpose into fighting their wars for them. We know that a lot of the political leaders in the United States are being blackmailed by them for things they captured on video after setting up the situation. We know that Lindsey Graham is being blackmailed for being gay. John McCain is being blackmailed for something else, I don't know what it is, as is John Kerry and probably most of the rest of them and nearly all of the House of Representatives. This is why they fund all those political junkets to Israel so that they can organize the filming with people they have on hand from their sex slave, sex traffic operations. There's a larger presence of this in Israel than anywhere else in the world, and that's easy to check on. In some cases, they simply control them by letting them know they can't be elected without the backing of IPAC, whose members control who does and does not get elected, And they do this with money because they own the printing presses. And that's also how they gain control of all the media and publishing houses, as well as so many, many other things. These are facts. You can argue about them till the end of time, but it doesn't change anything. That's just how it is. For most of you, I'm telling you nothing new. But I feel the need to repeat these things because everything we think and say is like a rock thrown into a lake. Eventually, the impact will ripple across the entire surface of the lake. Say something in Albuquerque on Monday, and it'll echo in Cairo the next week. It may be near inaudible, but it'll be heard on some level. Everything we think and say and do affects the whole world, however minutely, and that is how the power of collected souls can shape the course of the world. The power of unified thought is amplified far beyond that of a single voice. This is why they so violently broke up that protest in the 60s, where many people gathered and were trying to join hands and surround the Pentagon in an effort to levitate it. I thought that was pretty cool. There was a lot of creative thinking going on in those days, and it's gone downhill from there. The internet has given us a huge burst of possibility, and many of us have come to remember what it was that we valued, and many of us have migrated to, in the process of time between then and now, to remote parts of Oregon and Vermont, Canadian Rockies, and God knows where. Well, we're finding out that we haven't changed our minds, just our locations. The biggest problem that we're really facing in the world today is glamour. Alice Bailey wrote a whole book on it. I believe it was called Glamour, A World Problem. And I think it's tonight that they're having the Academy Awards. I'm not sure, but it's soon. And there's one of the best examples of glamour you're ever going to find. And what can you say? It ain't very glamorous as far as I'm concerned. Anyway. I'm trying to collect my thoughts here. I'm trying to focus on this glamour thing. Okay. What I meant to say was, is the glamour of war, the glamour of conquest, the glamour of power, and the glamour of sexual power and control over other people, and all of the things that attend all of these things that come out of the same force, but which are misapplied because our motivations are other than what they should be. And there's a lot of pressure coming down right now because there's this pressure to change. The world is changing. We're in a time of transformation. And because of this pressure, there is intense resentment and acrimony. Now, someone wrote someone I know a few days ago saying I was saying bad things about them. Now, this perplexes me because I have purposely stayed away from this, and the only thing close that occurred, wherein I discussed it with one of the principals, well, that just happened yesterday. I don't really quite know what to make of any of that. I talk more about this in a general way, but I can't without getting into some specifics, even when the persons and situation aren't identified. That's how cautious I've been. The only conversation on my part with anyone involved, only principals, and that was a month ago. So I'm hard-pressed to identify where and how I said anything. It's strange. But strange is how it is now. Strange is how it is. You know, it's very difficult to figure out exactly why things happen. And, you know, I'm at that business all the time. I'm always trying to figure out why something occurred and what it meant. And when I can fix something, you know, I fix it. And if I can't fix it, it's because people won't let me. And but mostly, you know, I try to stay away from the things I can't fix because I realize that trying to do anything at that point is pretty useless. But when you can fix something, well, I'm Johnny on the spot for it. And I am always willing to be absolutely forgiving and always seeking forgiveness and always willing to meet things, you know, at the highest end. You know, I'm a very strange person in any case. You know, I've got a lot to deal with because of the reach of my work into the minds of a great many people and all of the different people I have to interact with and the things people say about me. And sometimes they say things about me that I think are a little bit too good to be true and that also don't really apply because I'm not where they think I am yet. You know, I'm a work in progress. I may come off as being something that I'm not, and I do try to be that thing that I'm not, but I know for a fact I'm not that thing yet. So, because people try to make me into some kind of a guru and a teacher and such on occasion, I have this anti-guru software, which forces me to act out. Now, I don't ever do anything actually serious, and the bad things anticipated don't actually occur. They just look like they might. But people who think they have a problem with me don't. They have a problem with themselves. What I do, whenever I do, it happens for one of two reasons. It happens because I do it on purpose to see what might happen, because it's something I very need to know about. Or it happens because I have no choice and I find out what the reasons were later on. My pursuit of the divine to the exclusion of all else has made me a puppet of certain invisible forces, and, well, I wouldn't have it any other way. At the same time, people expecting things from me and not getting what they thought they were getting, well, they have every reason to feel bad about it. But that all depends on what the reasons were for expecting it. None of us are what we seem, and none of us are very much, well, sorry, but say some of us are very much different than we seem and have very different priorities. I'm mentioning all this because of the nature of the times we live in. There's a lot of confusion and frustration and fear in the air. You can cut the uncertainty with a knife. And the knives are coming out because this sort of an environment leads to a lot of hostility. And it really pings on the survival chakra, which sits on top of the kunda, wherein resides the kundalini. There is a lot of pressure going on. There's this pressure for transformation, for change. We are in times of change, and we don't want to change. We don't know what we're changing into. We don't understand what this change intends. So it creates a lot of fear, and as I say, it pings on the survival chakra. This is why, and I am trying to do this, and I hope everyone else is trying to do this, but I am sincerely trying to do this, and that is to be nice to others. Because with the way things are right now, you often feel inclined not to be nice to others. And you got to catch yourself. You have to catch yourself and be forgiving and understand your own part in the process. Everything can be fixed. If not before it happens, then after. At least maybe a little while after. As Christ said, make peace with your brother while you are in the way with him. In other words, while you have the time to fix it, fix it. While the opportunity still lies there. Because something's been created out of this, and it's going to go down and around a few corners and come back around at another time. And, you know, depending on the severity of it, well, there you go. Lao Tzu speaks of taking the left-hand side of the bargain. Cut your losses. Don't worry about what this, that, or back and forth. Work out some reasonable agreement. Let it go. And let no poison fester in your heart, because out of it bloom certain flowers like a certain kind of nightshade, belladonna, and things like that. And you don't want those flowers growing in your heart. And believe me, something has to grow there. It's fertile ground. These are times of testing, and we should be aware of it. Our circumstances are combustible. Well, we're about to see what we're made of. Patience, restraint, forgiveness, and a solid understanding that we don't know. These are important qualities to have in operation. And I might mention a few others that I once heard from a great teacher, the incandescently lit up and illuminated Bawa Mujahideen, Guru Bawa, who always spoke about faith, certitude, and determination. Remember those words. Think about them, ponder them, apply them, and see if something doesn't happen as a result. We don't know what we are up against. But to be sure, part of what we are up against is ourselves. And as I said, this is a time of transition. We will either change or we will be changed. One is much easier than the other. And what we will be changed into depends on our level of cooperation. This is a very important thing to keep in mind, which is why I have mentioned many times, both here and at the blogs, what I have been told by the ineffable, which is rely on me. Rely on me in all things. Anyway, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, may the love of God surround, protect, fulfill, enlighten, illuminate, and lift you up. This is my fervent prayer for all of you. And, well, that said, Hare Krishna, Aloha, and Haru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.